Let's jump then to that, about the time you bought KRMG. How did this come about?
Well, I'd been in Tulsa to look at KAKC, which was for sale and owned by the same fellow that they had bought the Des Moines station from. I sent back a report and said I didn't think KAKC was the station they should be interested in, but if anybody could get a hold of KRMG, I thought it was a bird's nest on the ground. One day the telephone rang early in the morning, and the voice said, "This is Gilbert." And I said, "Well, how are you? You're up early." And he laughed and chuckled. He said, "I had to get a hold of you early this morning." He said, "I did something last night. I don't know whether you're in agreement with or not." He said, "I was playing gin rummy with Fred Bolin in the Des Moines club and telling him how well we were doing with our stations." And he said, "Well, if your guys are so hot, why don't you just take that dog down in Tulsa off our hands?" Gilbert said, I asked him how much he wanted, and he said $500,000. I said, "We'll just buy it now." And he said, "Ken, I don't know whether that's good, bad, or why." I said, "It's wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful. You did good work." You
know? So who owned KRMG at that time?
Meredith Publishing Company in Des Moines, Iowa. They weren't doing very well with it. So Fred was glad to get rid of his dog in Tulsa, and we were delighted to take it on a leash and turn it loose.
In 1961. It was a floundering radio station?
Yes, sir.
So then what happened?
We put a fellow in to kind of cover it because I was finishing up at Des Moines, getting it all tidy and nice. I didn't get down until the spring then of 1962. We had some adjustments to make. They were carrying commercial religion from 7 in the evening until midnight. They had a fellow on the air in the morning, Marvin McCullough, marvelous Marvin McCullough, who played country music. They had some CBS network they were carrying. It was just a hodgepodge. And we set about cleaning it all up. I'd heard a fellow down in Kentucky, Lexington, on the air in the afternoon, and I thought, boy, wouldn't he make a great nighttime DJ if we could ever get him interested. So we talked to him. He said, "If you'll buy me a car, I'll come to Tulsa." That was Johnny Martin. Later we added Chuck Adams as the morning man. We're very fortunate that through the years we had some good morning personalities on the station. Watson Jelks, Chuck Adams, John Erling, to name a few. We did a promotion initially in the spring of the year. In May of the year, we ran spots for about 2 weeks that said KRMG is going to be a thing of the past. That got everybody's curiosity going. And what we did was play music of the late 40s and the 50s, lots of Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, et cetera, et cetera. Well, nothing like that was on the air anywhere. And it was an absolute smash. You could just feel people turning the station on.
That, this town was not playing big band music.
No, there was nothing like that anywhere.
What station was the number one station then?
That KKC you... still was.
So they were rocking rolling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you started playing the Sinatras and all that.
Middle of the road. Andy Williams, Rosemary Clooney, anything that was pleasant listening. And we had a formula that not many people knew about except the DJs. Coming out of the news, they always opened with an instrumental. And the instrumental was a signature-type instrumental that clearly labeled the station as what it was. And it just took off. I have to say, those years with KRMG were the Camelot years. It just seemed like we couldn't do anything wrong. Everything we touched, just literally, turned out neat.
So we're talking about 63 then, 64 in there.
Yeah, long in there.
How about people like salespeople and all that you might remember?
Well, we got Danny Bell. He walked in one day and wanted work. He'd been with KVOO and didn't like it real well, so we put Danny to work. I moved Vic Bastian out of the news department and into the sales department. Charlie Thompson the same. Ron Blue was our sales manager at that time. And we built a sales staff.
So that was in 63, 64, and there, those people came on board.
Yep.
How long did it take before the ratings showed that KRMG had come alive?
In those days, it was a hooper, the telephone coincidental survey, and it came out in June. KRMG was number one in the morning, and KKC was still number one in the afternoon. But shortly thereafter, they began to fall in the afternoon, and in a short time, KRMG, at one time, had more audience than all the rest of the stations in town put together.
Then it was a music station.
It was, yeah, but with good news. We built a fine news operation.
Some of the newsmen that you might have had there.
Bob Lozier, who went on to big time stuff, was our remote guy. We would do things with that, like getting Sid Patterson, who was the street commissioner, in our mobile unit, and they drive around and check potholes. That was our pothole patrol. That kind of caught on and was kind of funny. We had Malvina Stevenson in our Washington bureau. She was just part-time, a contract lady, but we were the only station in town that had a Washington correspondent. She broke a lot of news for us long before it was national news. We had good voices on. I found a young man in Stillwater at OSU who was just graduating. And I said, how would you like to come to work for us? And he said, I really would. And the first night he was on the air, he got so clutched up doing the 8 o'clock news that Johnny Martin had to turn him off and go to music because Ed couldn't say a word. He was just frozen.
And that was Ed.
And that was Ed Brocksmith, who later went to head up the state network and ended up at Northeastern State University as their PR person, I guess would be a good way to say it, and has been very active in that Save the Illinois River project down there. He has become a very devoted conservationist.
Glenn Condon?
Glenn was there briefly. Glenn was doing nothing but editorials for us at that time, and Glenn's health failed and he couldn't do editorials anymore. We looked around to see if we could find somebody in the community that could do editorials. Nobody could, and in the interim period, I had been doing some of them just to keep it alive so it wouldn't die completely, and I ended up doing the editorials.
And I want to get back to more of that, but then Tulsa did not have a news per se station plus music, mm-mm, and you were breaking all new ground for these people who had never heard anything like this before.
Right. Another thing we did Sunday evening, we put Johnny Martin on from 7 until midnight. No commercials, just music and Johnny Martin.
That would be unheard of in most places.
Yeah, it was our gift to the community.
And probably one of the highest rated Sunday evening programs.
I have so many people say, I'm driving back from Grand Lake and I listen to Johnny Martin every Sunday night.
And he's another topic we could talk about because to this day, people in Tulsa will talk about the phrases he used and the things he said, Case Night in the City. There were families who were born and raised to Johnny Martin.
His sons went into radio and became quite successful, major market. David Martin was one of those, Chicago, big time.
So he comes to town all because you heard him on a radio station in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So the station is establishing itself as the place to turn to for news.
And weather.